Sisters and Hammerstein.
Then the strange things started happening where you walk into Saks and someone says, oh, that's the last home. And that's when you begin to realize that the show that you're in is beginning to really make a great success. And then it got harder and harder and harder to get tickets. And that was Oklahoma.
It's the heartbeat of Broadway.
Another open, another show. In Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for state folks to say hello. Another open arms, another show.
Your Heart Association, together with the station, presents The Heartbeat of Broadway. Stories of the heartaches and headaches in bringing some of the top musical productions of all time to triumph on Broadway, as told by the show people who helped make theater history. Today, in a special salute to the 1959 Heart Fund, we bring you the story behind the story of a show that marked the beginning of a new and brilliant era in musicals, Oklahoma. Your narrator, the famous columnist and showman, Ed Sullivan.
Thank you. Thursday, April 1st, 1943, was the first Broadway matinee for Oklahoma, and April Fool's Day for too many Broadway experts who had predicted disaster for the production when they saw it breaking in out of town. But let's go back to the beginning of Oklahoma, which also began one of the most successful collaborations of our time, Rodgers and Hammerstein. And here is Oscar Hammerstein to tell us about it.
Well, in 1942, I had a phone call from Dick, and he told me that the Theatre Guild wanted to do a musical play based on a straight play they had produced in the past, Green Grow the Lilacs. Dick and I started the conversations at lunch, and we had more and more conversations, and they grew into Oklahoma.
Dick, what was your reaction when Oscar handed you the lyrics to Oh, What a Beautiful Morning?
I remember very well what my reaction was. I was tremendously excited by it. It had everything that the first song in that musical show should have had. It was simple. It was the country, Southwest. And the only thing that worried me was that I was afraid that I might not be able to find music appropriate for these words.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
That was Alfred Drake singing the most beautiful curtain raiser ever heard on the American stage. While Rodgers and Hammerstein were busy creating the score for Oklahoma, they were also deeply involved in a highly commercial problem, raising money for the show. Oscar vividly remembers what those days were like.
Well, that was a long and very discouraging saga. There was great resistance. In those days, most of the plays that got easy backing were plays with stars. And Oklahoma had no stars, and Oklahoma had other strikes against it. I, the librettist, hadn't had a hit in 11 years, and the Theatre Guild hadn't been successful in the years immediately leading up to Oklahoma.
So this meant auditions to raise money, and Alfred Drake has some very lively memories about those auditions.
We had umpteen million auditions. I don't know how many of them there were. We auditioned and auditioned and sang the music. I don't think they raised a penny out of any of those auditions.
Teresa Helbrun, guiding light of the Theatre Guild, remembers the first of those heartbreaking auditions.
The first one was given at the Italian department. We were providing the supper. And we didn't have any money, so all we had was beer and I don't know what they were, sandwiches or something. And Dick played the music. And Alfred Drake and Joan Roberts sang, and everybody was very polite and listened and thanked us very much and went home.
And one of the songs they heard Alfred Drake and Joan Arbor sing that night, without benefit of orchestra, of course, was...
Don't throw bouquets at me. Don't please my folks too much. Don't laugh at my jokes too much.
People will say we're in love. Don't dance all night with me. Till the stars fade from above, they'll see it's all right with me. People will say we're in love.
Celeste Holm, when did you first hear the Rodgers Hammerstein score?
Mr. Rogers sat down for the benefit of the whole cast and played music. I thought many a new day had a Mozartian twinkling quality, but there was one song I thought, this is never going to go. Never going to go. It hasn't got a chance. Bum, 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 ba-da-da-da. Bum, 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 ba-da-da-da.
Oh, no. Celeste, you certainly goofed on that one.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with a fringe on top. Two bright sidelights winking and blinking. Ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking of a tier-tier swap for that shiny little Surrey with a fringe on the top.
What is the most important element in a musical? Dick and Oscar, would you explain your theory?
I think the most important element in the production of a successful play, whether it's a musical or a straight drama, is teamwork.
That's right, Dick. Without the coordinated efforts of everyone, working together toward a common goal, the chances of success are very slim.
Well, the same principle is true in a far more serious area, in the fight against heart disease. It takes teamwork to defeat our nation's greatest health enemy.
And that's why the role of the Heart Association is so important in the fight against heart disease. It wells the talents of the best men and women in the cardiovascular field into one vast nationwide team, which has but one object, to help save hearts and lives, perhaps yours or mine.
Yes, but your Heart Association needs backers. It needs the support of the people to speed up progress in research, education, and community services, an all-out program that will eventually conquer heart disease.
It adds up to a production that can be guaranteed a long run with rich dividends in happier and healthier hearts and lives.
This month, American Heart Month, remember an important fact of life. The best way to fight heart disease is through your heart fund.
One of the things that made Oklahoma an unusual show was the ballet.
That, of course, was Alfred Drake again.
Agnes DeMille's work in creating a really American ballet for a show and going, shall we say, out on a limb in doing so because it was an unusual kind of dance to be bringing into what used to be called a musical comedy. She used the ballet to advance the plot, and of course doing this all the time in her own wonderful style.
After weeks of rehearsal in New York, Oklahoma, which was first known as Away We Go, went to New Haven for its first tryout. And there, Reuben Mamoulian, the director, had what he thought was a brilliant idea. Terry Halbern, you begin that story, won't you?
I remember Mamoulian coming to me and saying, we ought to have a very pastoral opening. I'd like a cow. And I said, Reuben, no cow. We don't have a cow. He said, well, don't you think it would be lovely to have a flight of pigeons across that wonderful set?
And then a few weeks later in Boston, The pigeons made their dramatic debut. Remember what happened, Celeste?
That night, with no warning to the cast, Alfred is singing, "Boys and girls like you," and whoosh, come 12 pigeons out from the wing. And they went out in the audience, and they went up in the boxes, and they went up in the flies. This is being all over the place where you've never seen such pandemonium. All the singers stopped singing except Alfred. Nothing touched Alfred. He went right on feet. And the scene ended in a flurry of feathers.
In fact, ever since then, people have been claiming that there are still some of those pigeons up on the rafters because they never did get them all back.
Well, that was the end of the pigeons, but Oklahoma went on, not without further difficulties, however. Bambi Lynn now recalls what happened out of town.
We were in Boston, and one person got the measles, and another person got the measles, and pretty soon the whole company had the measles.
Celeste, did anything happen to you?
I didn't get any but laryngitis, which meant that on all the top notes, I had no noise at all that came out. And the hoarser and more cracked my voice was, the more the audience laughed. So I left the crack in.
I'm just a girl who can't say no. I can't be pretty and quaint. I ain't the type that can faint. How can I be what I ain't? I can't say no.
After several more weeks on the road, Oklahoma finally opened at the St. James Theater in New York. Now, one critic, after viewing the out-of-town opening, had wired to New York, "No gags, no gals, no chance." Well, what about the New York opening? Was it a smash? Well, here's Dick Rogers again.
The opening did not have the excitement, the home run quality that you might have expected from a show that turned out eventually to be as big a success as that. There was no dancing up and down the aisles. There wasn't very much cheering, if any.
But after the show opening night, the lines at the box office started going all the way around to 8th Avenue and around the corner. And then the strange thing started happening where, you know, you walk into Saks and you start looking at the ribbon counter and someone says, "Oh, that's Celeste Holmes." And that's when you begin to realize that the show that you're in is beginning to really make a great success. And then it got harder and harder and harder to get tickets. And that was Oklahoma.
Yes, indeedy, Oklahoma did fine. And after opening night, the theater manager of the St. James, in reply to that witty wire from out of town, "No gags, no gals, no chance," wired back, "No tickets." Oklahoma had found a permanent home on Broadway. Now, before we bring down the curtain on our Heart Fund backstage journey through theater history, I'd like to remind our listeners once again that this month is American Heart Month, time to rededicate ourselves to the fight against our greatest health enemy, heart disease. This is Ed Sullivan again, thanking the members of the Oklahoma Company for bringing us the thrilling story behind the story of that fabulous musical. To sign off, I'd like to add, folks, remember, when you help your heart fund, you help your heart.
You've been listening to The Heartbeat of Broadway, presented by this station as a public service in cooperation with your Heart Association. Remember, during American Heart Month, give to your Heart Association or to Heart, care of your post office.